Welcome to the Nerd Party.
Oh, Miles here.
Your Owl Post for the week is freshly delivered, and I am just one of the hosts here, Matthew Rushing, and with me, as she has been throughout this entire journey, Drea Kaufman.
Hello!
Hello! Hello, hello. Well, you know, we missed a week, but hey, I figured at the end here, that's good for everybody, because, right, it just gives them more space. You know, it gives more of a time.
We're like a good movie wrap up. Yeah, there's like a good, you know, when you have like a trilogy or a series of movies, like one or two come out and then you have to wait really long time for the next one and it's worth it. That's what I'm, we're that.
Yep, that's us. That's us. You know, we're the thing you just wish we would continue to drag out so it wouldn't have to end. Like the never-ending song. So, well, now that that
like
is stuck in your head.
The opposite of COVID.
Exactly. Oh, gosh. Let's not go there. Anyway, well, thank you guys for joining us. We're just so excited that you're here. We want to say a huge thank you to everybody who's reviewed us and keeps track of us over there on Apple Podcasts. Make sure you subscribe so you get the show as soon as it drops. And you can find us wherever you do get your podcasts. We're on Twitter at Join Nerd Party. We're on Facebook at facebook.com/thenerdyparty. We've got thenerdparty.com where you can check out all of the shows we do, and you can go to thenerdparty.com/contact and you can send us an email and Dre and I can catch up with you that way. So pretty big chapter here. There's so much happening. It's chapter 30, the sacking of Severus Snape. And I really love that as Harry is having his moment of, you know, hearing Voldemort, they have the boy, that before he can do anything, there's a loud bang, and Luna's like, I've never stunned anyone outside of the DA lessons.
I appreciate that she's the one to do this, and especially because it's one of the few times that, you know, we kind of have, I don't want to say consequences, but like Harry is not in a place to fight this on his own because of his connection with Voldemort. So someone else kind of like had to step up and, you know, take charge. And Luna was just like, I've never done this before. Okay. And I love just the very like calm and serene nature with which she disarms someone. She's like, okay. All right. That was cool.
I love it. I'm right there with you. I absolutely love it. I think it's really fun. And Luna is actually kind of fun throughout this entire thing, this whole chapter, because Luna, you know, she's just kind of go with the flow. She doesn't, you know, she doesn't get too ruffled about anything. And it is quite funny, especially since this is such a heavy chapter with, we know, it's basically we have the countdown clock going in the corner from like 24 and it's like ding, 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 except it's Voldemort's clock, you know, when is he going to arrive? And yeah, that's kind of how
that
I thought
music
about
for
it.
For me while I work, it would be really helpful.
Just have the countdown clock in the background going. But because, I mean, Harry knows, like he can feel in his mind, he knows that it's not going to take Voldemort too long to check these other places and that he's going to be here at any moment. And on top of that, you know, they're in the Ravenclaw common room and we've got the other Electo banging outside the door because, you know, he's afraid for what's going on with his sister. And my favorite, man, I love McGonagall so much in this chapter, and you could hear it outside the door and she's like, what's going on? Why? You know, she's just got this like cold, like steely voice of like, why are you banging on the door? What are you doing? And it's just, it's so great everything about her in this chapter is amazing.
Yes. If I didn't already love McGonagall, this is the like moment where, and it even happens to Harry, he feels like he loves, you know, he's like, I think it says something about his, you know, his love for McGonagall or something gushes to him, right? Like he is just, he is a fan. She is a just a strong and powerful force in this chapter. And you get why she's got such restraint and is who she is. It's just such an amazing chapter for McGonagall. And I love it. And there's such kind of this like kind of back and forth that we don't really get in the movie. It's a little transactional here in parts, but you know, Electo is trying to knock down the door to check on his sister, and it, you know, she kind of helps him in, and I love that with Ravenclaw. Something I love about all the houses. I'm rambling a little bit. I'm gonna rein it in. Something I love about all the houses is that each of them clearly has a unique common room, right? But yes, also a unique way of accessing the common room, right? So we heard that there's a riddle and Luna answers the riddle, but then McGonagall answers the riddle in a different way. And you learn that it honestly just has to do with rationalizing an answer. It doesn't have to be the right one. There is no right. There is no wrong. It's just an answer. And I love the little things she does like that. We never get to the Hufflepuff common room, not to ruin it for anybody here, but that's not something we ever get to experience in these books. But we know about Gryffindor, we kind of know about Slytherin, and now we have insights into Ravenclaw, and they're so unique that I love how she gives them, the house itself has its own personality.
Yes.
And I love that so much.
Yeah, no, I'm right there with you. It's one of my favorite things in this. It really is just so much fun. And it gives, you know, McGonagall time to kind of stall. And then she helps him in. And, you know, Electo's talking about how Harry Potter might try and get into the Ravenclaw Tower tonight. And, you know, McGonagall's like, why would Harry Potter try to get in here? She doesn't get it. You know, there's anger and disbelief in her voice. But at the same time, when she says, this is that moment where she's like, Harry Potter's in my house. You know, like there's this sense of pride of,
why,
you know,
would he
in
be
her voice.
This one. Yeah.
Yeah. He doesn't need this one. He's in my house, you know.
Like, I mean, so I mean.
Yeah.
No, that's what I meant.
It is really great. And so, and Electo's talking about like how he's going to, you know, if they can't find Harry Potter, they'll blame this on, you know, the kids. And McGonagall is like, oh, mm-hmm. No, you didn't. No, you are not blaming this on these kids. And he spits in her face, and that's the moment where Harry like throws off the cloak and he Cruciatus curses Amaecus, and it's just fantastic because he's like, oh, I see what Bellatrix meant. You really gotta mean it. Because his blood is boiling with how he feels about what he just did to McGonagall, and she's like, why did you do that? Why are you here? And he's like, but he spit in your face. And she's like, I really appreciate your, you know, your honor, but what are you doing?
Yeah, I do love that. And she kind of debates back and forth a little bit. And you can feel in this how she's like, how he's kind of getting, there's not enough time. There's not enough time. There's this like, you get all worked up with them, right? You're like, the whole time. And it's just so interesting because, you know, he eventually sways her and he's like, oh, that's right. And he's like, well, Dumbledore, I'm under Dumbledore's orders. Like, this is what we need to do. I'm under Dumbledore's orders. And he's like, she's like, all right, what do you need? Like, that was the thing that did it. Like, this was a masterclass on persuading someone to do what you want. And everything kicks into action from there. And they run into someone very interesting in the hallway as all of this takes off.
Yeah, this was fascinating. I like you said, I love the fact that, you know, the moment he says Dumbledore's order, she's like, oh, what do you need? And
snaps into gear.
Yes. And unfortunately, like you said, they run into Snape. And he's like, where have the Karos? And I love, she's like, wherever what? You told them to be.
I love that her response is like, what? I don't know what you're talking about.
Exactly.
She plays
so
that
great.
Really well.
It's so good. And then, they got the this is where Stape's like, well, I got the impression that they had apprehended, you know, an intruder. And she's like, oh, really? You know, oh, I forgot, you know. Oh, that's right. You Death Eaters, you have your own special, like, little messaging system. And he's kind of like, you know, flexing his arm a little bit. And you could tell that, yes, he has felt the call of the Death Eater mark. And this is awesome, too, because he suggests, you know, the fact that it could have been Harry Potter. And she's like, really? Harry Potter? And before you know it, McGonagall has whipped out their wand and they are battling together. And it is incredible. Like, I loved reading this battle. And there's no reason for us to talk through it because, like, you should just go read it. But it's really, really cool, the battle that they have. And it's incredible, the battle they have, because this is, like, you know, this is the moment where you realize just how incredible McGonagall really is with her skills. And she's battling, and then Flitwick comes up and he starts battling as well. And it's just so cool. And basically they force Snape to fly, literally. Like, she even says, oh, he's learned something from his master.
Yeah. And the battle is, it's different than it is in the book, right? We don't need to go, like you said, we don't need to go blow by blow. It's much more
exciting.
Well, it's much more natural, right? It's it's not as dually and staged as it was in the movie, where there's kind of this tension and back and forth. It just kind of happens, right?
Right.
And
because it starts in a corridor and then ends up in a classroom, it, you know, we don't even go to the
Great Hall, right?
Great,
like,
Hall,
it's a very different, actually, how it happens, and then the feel of it happening,
yes,
right? Because it's also not in front of a big audience and all that, like it is in the movie and the whole shtick. So, I wanted to ask you, because I had a thought when I was reading this chapter this time. She very quickly whips out her wand and kind of, she almost initiates this battle, right? When asked, you know, when Snape basically asks her, if you have seen Harry, you have an obligation to say something, right? He's basically threatening her, but she instantly sort of initiates this battle. I'm curious, knowing what we know about Snape and his occlumency, I'm wondering if he entered her mind and she knew, and that's why she started the battle, because he would then know what she knows. Right? Because it seemed very sudden and almost not quite provoked enough, or you're kind of missing something. And I'm wondering if that's kind of what happened, or at least she knew that he could do that, and therefore it was time to battle, right? But I'm wondering if some of those higher powered skills that we've learned about are actually in play and we're just not experiencing them.
I absolutely had not thought about that, but I would be not surprised in the least to find out that, you know, maybe that kind of is what J.K. Rowling had in mind, you know, as she was writing. I mean, it
right,
would make complete sense that would be the case, from what we know of Snape and his ability. Absolutely. So,
That was one of those things, because McGonagall's not usually the aggressor, right? She's usually very responsive, and she's a defender, right? Like, as we saw her defending her kids, or the Ravenclaws in the common room when they tried to throw all the Ravenclaws under the bus. She's a very, she's a warrior, not someone who's usually the aggressor starting a fight. So that, to me, I just wonder if there was, if Rowling was sort of indicating there's more going on there that we should sort of infer. But yeah, it gets really intense, much more so than in the movie. And that's when kind of Harry and Luna and everything, they're just like, you know what, we're giving up on pretenses. I'm showing my face. We're going at this. You know, Harry kept trying to get involved in the battle, but kept pulling Luna out of the way to protect her instead. And everyone's shocked to see him there.
Yeah.
And it's just like, reading this chapter was like utter chaos. Everyone's going in a different direction. They're just doing what they need to do. They're starting to defend the castle. You know, Harry and Luna need to go back to the common room. There's just so many things. But the interesting thing here in the book that they completely leave out of the movie is, what do they do with the Slytherins, right?
Yeah.
Because in the movie, I think they're kind of told, like, you're dismissed. We don't need mm-hmm. you here. Like, please leave.
Yes.
But in the book, they specifically call it Slughorn, right? Because he is head of the Slytherin house now. And I like the way she phrases it. Like, you are welcome to leave if that's your choice. However, if you stay here and do anything but help, I will duel you.
Yeah.
Like, it was the equivalent of, I will cut you.
Yes.
if you get in my way. and I just don't think he's used to quite that level of curtness. And he's like, and I don't believe, and maybe I missed it, but I don't believe we even get a resolution on that. He just acknowledges what she says and then it moves on through the rest of the chaos.
Yeah, because he's pretty shocked at what he's heard.
As what's going on. He just doesn't know, right?
Yeah. One quick thing I had to mention that is so interesting, that Snape, both times leaving the castle in the last two books, has been called a coward because McGonagall yells that at him twice as he's leaving. So that's really interesting. And yeah, I mean, in many ways, McGonagall is saying that to the Slytherins here, to Slughorn. You're either cowards and you run, or you stay here and fight with us. But if you try to do anything else, like you said, I'll cut you.
I will cut you.
I cut you, bro. And so, yeah, it is crazy. And then, you know, we have all the teachers getting together and they're going to help defend the castle. Like, they're going to give Harry the time that he needs. And I just love it because McGonagall, I love what she tells Harry. She's like, you know, we teachers are actually pretty good at magic ourselves. You know, we'll do everything we can, but this fight is coming and you need time. And so we're going to do what we can to give it to you. And, you know, he asks the fact that, you know, if she's seen the Ravenclaw diadem, and she's like, nobody has seen that in living memory. Like, I have no clue where that is. And now this is the point where we just kind of keep running into old friends that have come to help. All the DA has showed up. The Dumbledore's army is here. The Order of the Phoenix. Lupin is here. It's great. All of the Weasleys are here. And, of course, that creates a massive fight between Ginny and her mother about whether or not she's going to get to stay. Lupin showing off a picture of his son to people, which is so cute. And it's kind of a great moment here because there's so much stuff happening. And then we have something that I think we've all been waiting for, which is that Percy would finally come to his senses and realize that he's been kind of a jerk. And that it's time to come home. And I love that he confesses to them, it's like, I wanted to come back for a while, but I just didn't know how to do it. And that, you know, Aberforth, he had gotten in touch with, and they told him he was here. And it's a great moment. Like, the Weasley family is finally back together. They're finally whole again. And it's one of the best moments in this chapter, because it's really happy. You know, like, it's a reuniting that you kind of hoped would finally happen, and it has. It's great.
Yeah, I do love that. I love that it's got this real fun family dynamic, because you've got, you know, Ginny kind of bickering with them because she's still being treated like a child, and then Percy comes home and it's this big reuniting thing, and it's just this like big family all over the place, lots of stuff going. And Mrs. Weasley, you know, Ginny tries to sneak away during this, and Mrs. Weasley catches her. And, like, it's just very, it's very much this big, happy family moment. And you're like, oh, my gosh. And I think it's something we've all, like you said, been waiting for. But I also think that we all know that it's not going to stay this way for long.
Yeah.
Right? You get this impression that it's still not going to end well for everyone. And so, you know, this is kind of that last moment. And the sad thing is this Ron is missing from this moment, which is kind of what...
Yeah, Ron and Hermione, we can't find them. Like, yeah, apparently they'd gone off to some bathroom, they said.
Yeah, ends with, right? Is Harry's like, well, but where's Ron? There's all this happening. And I do love, though, that before we get to where Ron and Hermione went, is Percy just sort of like self-owning what the twins want him to say, going through a list of like super hyperbolic... he's using a lot of hyperbole to describe his actions and what he did, and, you know,
it's well earned, I think, for the most part.
It's well deserved, but at the same time, I do think too, he's playing into Fred and George a little bit, right? Like, he he knows what they want to hear. And I think I mentioned Ron's missing. I also think Charlie is not here. I think just Bill is here.
Yeah, I honestly don't recall reading Charlie being here just yet either. So it'll be interesting to see. And remember, as we read the rest of the book, if he does end up showing up with any dragons, you know, because I honestly can't remember, even though the next chapter is the Battle of Hogwarts.
Remember, guys.
Yeah. So,
but I think,
yeah, it's been a while since I've read this one.
Yeah. I'm pretty sure he's not here in this moment. But we have, you know, most of the Weasley family. I just know if we didn't say that, someone will point that out to us, because y'all are awesome and all over it. So it's this moment, and there's a lot going on, and everyone's moving around, that's when, you know, to your point, they call back to where's Ron, where's Hermione, what's going on, and Ginny's the one to kind of speak up and be like, well, Harry, they left like right after you did, saying something about a bathroom, and Harry's like, a bathroom, and that's kind of, I hope others have come to the same realization that Harry has, because I'm really excited for this next chapter. But we kind of transition from there, and Harry has another moment with his scar, which is pretty evil and epic.
It's basically, you know, Nagini and Voldemort standing at the gates of Hogwarts, and that's where we leave the chapter, you know. The S is about to hit the fan, people. It's coming, and the Battle of Hogwarts is about to begin. So that's where we leave the chapter. I mean, we've set it all up now. The final battle is about to commence. But before we do get there, Drea, if people want to catch up with you, of course, where can they find you?
Yeah, you can find me on Twitter at PCFChick or on Instagram at Drea Kaufman, and Kaufman.
And you could find me on Twitter, Instagram, Letterboxd, all those places, Vero, MattRushing02. I'm here on the network doing Aggressive Negotiations with John Mills, as we're talking about all Star Wars all the time. It's so much fun, so I hope you'll check that out. And then on the TFM network, doing more than two shows, so many shows, I can't even keep track. The 602 Club, which is our general geek show, talking about all of the fandoms we'd love. Of course, there as well, doing Snyder Cuts now with John Mills, as we're talking about all of the films and things that Zack Snyder has directed on our way to his Justice League. You can also find me doing Literary Treks and The Orb. Literary Treks is about the books and the comics of Star Trek. And The Orb is about Star Trek Deep Space Nine. But thank you so much for checking your owl post.
Mischief managed.
Join the revolution. Join the Nerd Party.